He's giving us the warning that every time you come in and out of the hall, we need to close the door completely because recently we have lots of insects. So in order to avoid the insects or other animals to interrupt our concentration, we need to close the door completely. And also to avoid trapping the insects and other animals to get stuck in the hall too. Many animals here are still wild animals because it's this temple is around the preservation area. So there's still lots of many types of animals around here. We have wild boars, wild rabbits, deers, but still, despite all the laws and regulations, people still hunted them. So these days we barely have any, we rarely seen any. What we've seen a lot around here are wild birds. They migrate into the temple area because outside people still hunt them. If you come in the morning, you can hear all these noises, birds' noises. We can even distinguish what time of the season for the birds to from the voice, from the noise they make. We have lots of wild roosters here. The temples of the masters in the past, they are known to have lots of animals because of the compassion of the masters. Even animals flock around them. Many animals around here in the temple, they're not afraid of humans. So sometimes they are too callous. They might fly out or jump out off the roof or the fences and they get hunted down. It's really a pity when many people think that they can just do the merit by giving away their pets to the temple. But actually, many pets can't live in the temple because they're not familiar with not having anyone taking care of them. And sometimes the other wild animals eat them, like for example snakes, big snakes. We have big snakes here too. Abandon the animals even at the temple. It's not doing them the merit. Because without their own owners, they can't take care of themselves and they are bound to die anyways. Around this place, even it's close to the temple, at night we sometimes hear gunshots because people still hunt animals despite the regulations. And the laws can't really do anything. So we just have to just hear it and feel unfortunate for the, feel pity for the animals. All type of animals and living creatures need love and compassion. It's all the same to human. We need love and comfort. The Buddha says, compassion upholds the world. Wherever there's compassion and loving kindness, everybody, all the living creatures in the area, in that surrounding, would be happy and wholesome. We don't have to feel like we have to struggle and be on edge all the time. So we have to take care and think about other creatures, other people too. even though they are just animals. We need to make a living. Some people make a living by doing agriculture, but we should not invade the living space of other creatures, because we have to make our own living. They have to live too. And because they need to survive, sometimes they adjust and try to be friendly with people. And it's so unnatural to their own nature, their own characteristic. Or sometimes they have to hide away, living in secrecy, don't have freedom just because of us. So human beings have are more fortunate than other living creatures. We have to have compassion and loving kindness in our heart. We have to be aware that we are more fortunate to be able to be reborn as a human being. So we have to keep on accumulating merits and virtues. But it's inevitable that we would do both wholesome and unwholesome deeds. We just need to ensure that the wholesome deeds and virtues and our morals are increasing each day. Impure thought or other unwholesome fabrications that we do, it can't be ridded of. The result we have to take anyway. We have to accept the result from our every actions that we do. We can't escape it. What we need to do is only to increase the good. He's talking about Pra Anun, one of the core disciples of the Buddha. So in the past, one of his past life, he used to make a wish that every lifetime he wished to be handsome. And of course, when you are handsome, you have more chance to do the unwholesome deeds, yeah? So because of that, of all this misconduct that he did, he was reborn in hell so many lifetimes. And one of the lifetimes he was born as a cow. But he's still considered as a handsome cow. So all the cows, all the female cow would be flocking around him, and that annoys the owner so much. So he neutered the cow, the Ananta cow. So being neutered is one of the result of the misconduct. And by being born as an animal, it's really unfortunate because all the good conducts, all the merits and virtues that you accumulated in other lifetime can't be giving you the benefits at all. It wouldn't be present in that lifetime. So you're just practically wasting one lifetime. So if we ponder this aspect seriously, we would know that karma is really, really scary. Even Longpa himself, when he was young, he was just playing around with his string. And he was just wondering if he could swing the string and can hit the bat that flying around him at the time. So he tried different methods and he succeeded in the end. And it hit the bat right in the middle of its back. It fell on the floor, just kind of grasping for air. It fell bad. But fortunately, just after a while being on the floor, the bat flew away. But he felt really bad afterwards. He didn't intend to hurt it primarily, seriously, but just wondering if he could hit it. If he would be fast enough. He didn't mean to hurt the bat. So that's out of ignorance or naive curiosity, right? But the karma, the bat is stuck with him until one day when he's much older and he was doing the sitting meditation. He heard this swooshing through the air, and then he felt like there's something like a string or something hit him right in the back. He got this sharp pain that he couldn't breathe for a while. His heart and his mind just rippled. He was grasping for air, and then he got this vision of a bat, so flopping, grasping for air on the floor. And then he said, "Oh, now he understands now that every karma, every bad deeds, you have to pay back." So by accepting the payback, you already redeem completely. So basically, you can't avoid any deeds you did in the past. You have to accept the result, and it will catch up with you one day. He's telling us a story that one day he was on a Gratina trip, a big merit trip, to one of the master's temple. He's because of his gene, his body is quite big, yeah. So it's quite difficult for him to sit in a small seat, and it's really crowded. So many people went on this trip, so he got stuck on a small seat just right above the wheel, the back wheel. It's really uncomfortable. So the trip took off in the evening and then reached the master's temple early in the morning. So he had to sit like that the whole night. At first he was hoping there would be a stop during along the way, but they didn't make any stop. They made it in one go, so the whole night he had to sit like that. And he was also unfortunate that he didn't know, because he thought that they would make a stop, he didn't prepare any food. So he didn't have any dinner, and he had to sit like that without any food or drink the whole night. And then, it's more than the whole night, it's almost 24 hours of trip. Eventually they reached the temple. He was a familiar face in that temple, so the monks arranged a living quarter for him separately from other people, because they know that he's a practitioner, and while others just come for the merits. So by the time he got into his room, he couldn't stretch his body anymore, because he was cramped up sitting like that for almost 24 hours. He didn't have anything with him, not a painkiller or anything else at all. So he made a wish. He said, from all the merit, all the virtues that he'd been doing, collecting, all the merits from practicing, following the path of the Buddha, and from the loving kindness and compassion that he has in his heart. May any holy spirit or deity come and help him to heal him so he can go on practicing. So after making the wish, he started doing the concentration. He had a small light in front of him, and then it flashed a couple of times. So when the lamp flashed, he was curious. So he started to feel anxious, because if the lamp died, he wouldn't have any amenity with him at all. He couldn't go to the toilet even, because he's outside of the room. But then just after the second flash, all the pains disappeared. So he believed that from the merit and virtue that he's been doing, and from the strength of the good heart that he made the wish, it healed him. So he's saying that if it's not beyond the due of the bad karma or the intensity of the karma, you can kind of postpone it. You can avoid some bad incident happening to you sometimes. So he said, be loving kindness, don't abandon your pets at the temple. It's a good deed. So be aware that the bad deeds wouldn't disappear. If you failed and you happen to do any bad deed, even though you didn't mean to, just be more cautious, more mindful in the next time. Just have this intention, but you're not going to do it again. Because you can't really avoid the payback of the karma. One of the influence of the karma is first is whether you're being reborn as a human being or not. And if you're reborn as a human being, it reflects in how you look, your surrounding, your upbringing, you know, all your experiences. But if you follow the path of the Buddha, trying to keep the precepts, trying to increase more and more of the good virtues, the bad virtues from the past sometimes cannot reach you, because you're progressing on the good path, yeah? For example, if you're born in a not really fortunate family, you don't really have that much money to begin with, and you're doing another bad deed by, you know, playing gambling or lotteries or not doing any work. You are doing a new bad deed, a new karma that supports the previous bad karma. So you strengthen the bad karma. So your life just bound to go down on the bad path, yeah? So the key word here is what you're doing today in the present day will yield a result in the future. The bad or previous karma just give you the current situation. You need to improve. You can improve the situation, your life from today onward. And the bad deeds can't really be fully excused by saying apology. Just kind of mean that you realize the bad that you did, and you will be reflecting on that, and you try to avoid doing it. So that would change your direction of your life from the bad one to a better and more virtuous one. So don't be naive and believing in all this supernatural power. You would get whatever you do, you yourself do. So you can change the direction of your life. If you're getting into, for example, an accident, or about to get into an accident, and you're being mindful, you have this stable observer. You're aware of your surrounding and the situation with the calm mind. You can change what's going to happen to you next year. Perhaps can avoid the accident even. Or if you are facing with a tiger or a mad dog, that's a bad karma giving you, yeah? But what you can do is don't be stupid, just standing there accepting the karma. What you have to do is to change the path of direction of the experience by running away, for example. You have to use your intellect and wisdom in living your life. Okay, so now for the homework session. He's gonna talk to the people who are staying at the temple first. Okay, so he's asking if there's anything that he has to be aware of, be cautious of. So he said, try to keep the precept, try to avoid doing any bad deeds or impure deeds, and try to increase your wholesome or good deeds. So this lady's been staying here for the first time. She's seen that concentration is better after the 2 days here. But she can't really see the three characteristics. So Lompa is giving her advice that if she uses the breath as the main object, when the mind strays off from the breath, just know so. That's being mindful there. And the more you do this, you'll be aware of the mind straying off or being stable. The more mindfulness you have, and the concentration would arise automatically. But if your mind is too scattered, you can't have this. It won't happen. Okay, character, and you can also lead the mind to think about the three characteristics purposely. For example, you can see that nothing is within your control. You can't do anything to control it. It happens on its own accord. So that's the non-self aspect of the characteristics. She's practicing by following the YouTube and the audio tapes. Nepal asked whether she knows that her mind is not with herself. It's kind of out in the front. So the technique when this happens is to keep the mind with the breath and try to breathe in, pulling the mind gently back into yourself. Just try to breathe casually in a relaxing manner. Do it a couple of times and the mind would come back to you, to the base. So this person, Lopo said she's doing the wrong type of concentration. She's over-focusing. She tried to control the mind to be stable too much. So that's the wrong objective. You don't do concentration to keep the mind still. You do concentration to see when the mind, to be able to see the mind when it strays off from the object. And you can also observe when the mind is peaceful and sometimes it's scattered. Sometimes there's a wholesome feeling arises and sometimes the unwholesome. Just know when the mind changes. Okay, raise your number please. He said the first time he listened to the audio tape, he felt that his mind became that awake. But after a while when he tried more, seems like he's over-focusing. But he keeps on practicing. Sometimes he can see the mind. He can see when he got lost in thought more clearly now. His main practice is observing the breath, but sometimes he uses the body as well. So Lompa said what he's doing is okay, it's good. So he said there might, for every practitioner, there are two types of mistakes. The first is to allow the mind to wander off all the time without having mindfulness. The second is try to control it too much, and because of that you're over-focusing. So don't try to do it right. Just know when your mind is off or when it's not correct, and it would be correct automatically. She's been practicing for quite some time now, but she seemed that lately she can't remember anything, and she is also afraid that she's not walking the path of wisdom. And whenever she does the sitting meditation, she feels that the body disappears, and she feels that she has some like a round circular feeling in the forehead. And for said everything is doesn't really matter. What she needs to do is to be able to see when the mind changes, when it's good, when it's bad, when it's wholesome or unwholesome, when it's stable or scattered. Everything is the same. It gives you the experience just the same. If it doesn't change at all, it means you're doing it incorrectly. It means that you focus, over-focusing. Then you have to allow the mind to work in its natural way. It have the natural nature to go off to thinking and to other senses. Just be aware when it goes off to all these sense contacts. And be aware that one of the contact, the door that you would go to is to thinking. and see that the mind itself is under the three characteristics, is impermanent, and you can't do anything to control it. It's doing it its own thing. So have an object of observation and naturally observe it and see when the mind goes off from this object. If it stick to the object too much, it's over-focusing. One of the way to know when you're over-focusing is when your mind or your chest feel tight and stiff. That's when you're over-focusing. So release yourself. Allow the mind to go off to wonders of life. He went to a retreat 3 years ago. And after that, he used the mind as the object of observation. But after a while, it seems that he doesn't have the strength, the mind doesn't have enough strength or energy to observe the mind when it goes off. So he changed to body. Seems to give him more energy by observing the body. And he feels he could detect some ripples in the chest, in the heart. And Paul said, it's good that he can see that, but it's not important. You don't have to try to search or to see if there's a ripple in the heart. If you can see it, it's good. Because it's really subtle, it means that you have energy. But if you can't, it's okay. Because there are lots of other things that you can see. If you can see just one thing, that means that you're over-focusing. Right now, the main problem for him right at this moment is his mind is not on the base, it's at Long Po, and it goes around so much. And he wasn't aware of it. It's number 14. He's trying to practice by watching YouTube. It seems that everything around him has changed since then. And Paul said it's true. It's also up to the state of the mind, the quality of your mind. If your mind is stable and you observe everything just as a phenomenon, the world may seem to be in a distant, and you can see that the body is not self, even the mind itself is not self. Other applications or defilements are just one phenomenon that happened to the mind and the body. And you can see that everything is impermanent and comes up and falls away. He said one time when he was doing the concentration, he feels that the mind gathers, and then there's a bright light shooting off the chest, and he feels like he's in this neutral state. But Long Po said it's not a true equanimity, because it doesn't couple with wisdom. It's just the result of a strong concentration ability, strength. So one way to observe this is to see if there's a sense of self hidden somewhere inside. So examine yourself honestly. If you do, you can still find a sense of self inside. That means you haven't reached the enlightenment just yet. So keep on practicing. What you're doing is good. So you accumulate the wisdom, the experience, and understanding. So you don't have to even try to make the wisdom or enlightenment happen. It will happen by itself when everything is come to balance and enough. Number 12. The last time she talked to Long Po was last 8 months ago. And at that time her homework was to observe the change within the mind. And she tries that, but sometimes she can catch it, sometimes she can't. But she can see that when she made a contact with anything, she feels that it's just a wave of energy of something that come to reach the mind. So Long Po said that's correct. Everything is just a wave of energy. She's doing really well. And Long Po asked whether she feels that her mind is more at peace. And she said yes. She's seen that everything is in the distance. She feels that there's nothing to rush her or to pressure her that greatly anymore. And Long Po said yes, that's the way that the mind matures. And the more you accumulate this experience, the more your mind mature, and you would understand that everything is just the same, just phenomenon. And when you see when the mind wanders off, your mind will be mindful automatically, and the concentration will also arise automatically because of that. But it would just stay stable or steady for just a brief moment, and it would wander off again. That's the impermanence under the three characteristics. And you can't really do anything about it, that's not self. And eventually, when everything is enough, you reach the enlightenment would come. So she offers the merit to Long Po. Okay. You over focus. You have the tendency to over focus and restrain yourself. Just observe when your mind is feels stiff and tight in the chest. If that happens, it means that you're over focusing. Just observe the mind and the body as it is naturally. Don't try to interfere, try to restrain or control it. Most of the time people would just forget about the body and mind. If it wanders off without knowing, that's lost in thought, yeah? Another thing that we do is try to control ourselves, try to be able to be mindful all the time. That's unnatural. And when it's not natural, it's incorrect. Just allow the mind to work naturally on its own accord. Just know when the mind goes off to thinking, sometimes go to see, to hear, to other contacts and doors. Just allow them to go everywhere, but be aware that when it does. So whatever comes up in the mind, now you're lost in thought, you're thinking. Yeah, and your attention is fully into your thinking. Now come back to yourself, observe your breath. See that the body is doing the... Don't observe the breath itself, just be aware that the body is doing the breathing. The body as a whole is breathing. Just observe with a relaxing mind. Just be aware that the body is doing the breathing, not expecting anything. And while you're observing, if the mind goes off to thinking, it's okay. Just know that it goes off. And when it goes off to thinking and you'll be aware of it, it's okay. Just gently guide it back to the body that is breathing. But most of the time, you will focus on the breathing. It is over-focusing there. Don't pay the whole attention to the breath itself. Just observe that the body is doing the breathing in general as a whole picture. Let's keep on doing this. Now your mind is too stiff. You're too stressed, yeah? Feel a little bit stressful here. Just know that it is. Just know that you're stressed. And then it will relax and loosen up automatically. Just know that you don't want to feel stressed, but it does happen. You can't control it. Just be aware when this type of feeling happens and just observe that eventually it will disappear by itself. So the next person just asked for Longpo to give him something, just give him any advice. And Longpo said, just say something to him first. He started with his practice since almost 10 years ago. So Longpo said, you need to be consistent, formal session every day is a necessary. You need to do it every day to collect and to maintain the strength, the energy of the mind, so you would be able to observe and be and have the observer. He said he was just pointed out several people just lost in thought and they didn't know it. So the homework she got last time was to find an object of meditation to use as a home base. And she tried that and she used Putto chanting in her mind. Longpo said, could you see the difference from since then? Her mind is brighter and relaxed. But whenever she does the chanting, Putto, if the mind stays with the Putto in a relaxing manner, it's good. But when it goes off, it's okay. Don't try to scold it or scold yourself. Just know so. And Longpo praises her that she's doing her practice is really good. Her mind is really calm and refreshing. And Longpo even felt the refresh feeling. Thank you. That's it for today.